And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. And one thing that Floyd has accused me of in the past is being a Peter LaViolette Bobo. You think that I am a humongous Peter LaViolette pom-pom waver.
And there is no doubt.
And I am just an analyst. I analyze his coaching, and I break it down. So because of that, it's time for us to analyze the job Peter LaViolette did this season. What you already got chuckles over there for?
Here's two dummies sitting in a radio studio going to analyze a guy that's been to three Stanley Cup finals.
He's also been fired. Three times.
As have we
previously.
All.
I have actually never been fired from a job in my life.
Oh.
Knock on wood.
It's.
But I've got a lot of time in there. Okay. So let's kind of get to our assessment of how LaViolette did this year. Obviously, it'd be very easy just to look at the result and say, a fantastic job. Unbelievable. Amazing. Got to the Stanley Cup final. Wow. How did he do it? What did he? So I put down on my list the things I thought he did a really good job of this year, and then the things that I, you know, kind of wonder about. So which side of the list do you want to go to first, GM, the good or the bad?
Let me hold my breath. You take a choice and go.
No. I want you. This is your show, Floyd. I want you to pick.
All right. Let's do the good.
Okay, the good. The most important thing I think Peter LaViolette did this season in terms of coaching was he found a way to get this team to believe they could beat Chicago. Because not everybody thought they could beat Chicago. I didn't think they had a prayer against Chicago. I said, look, five games, see ya. Call me next year in October when the season starts. And not only did they go to Chicago and take game one, they dominated in game two. They took Chicago's best shot in game three and still beat them and swept them in game four. That was the most important part of the entire playoffs, was the start they got off to against Chicago. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that this team believed they could beat Chicago. And Peter LaViolette was the one who the entire last part of the season kept saying, hey, they can beat Chicago. He said they could beat them. And remember, because we would talk to David about it, and I've told David, I don't think you guys can beat Chicago. And we'd ask Peter about playing Chicago, and Peter LaViolette made no bones about it that he believed they could beat Chicago, and he got them to believe they could beat Chicago when there wasn't a ton of evidence leading up to that that would make you think they could beat Chicago. That's my number one good thing that I think he did. I don't know what he did that got him to believe, but that right there I thought was huge. Another good thing I think he did, he managed Pecorine this year extremely well. Because it would have been tough, the way UC Saros was playing, for Peter LaViolette to not sit there and say, okay, I got to play Juice more. I got to go with the kid more. The kid's the future. He is this. And yet he didn't ever back down off of Pekka. Pekka was always his guy. He stuck by Pekka, and he rested Pekka enough down the stretch to where Pekka was able to perform throughout the whole postseason. So I think that was a really, really big deal too. Then the other part, in the playoffs, with all these injuries and everything that was going on, he mixed the lines up, he matched the lines around, calling guys up, putting guys in places, doing different things with guys. I thought his coaching in the playoffs against other coaches was absolutely masterful, especially the St. Louis series and the Anaheim series and the Chicago series. So those are the things I think Peter LaViolette did incredibly well this year. Floyd, what do you think?
I think he probably did three or four things really, really well. I think first and foremost, without a doubt, was he put together a team. And that sounds easy to people that have never tried to do it. But believe me, it is as hard as anything you've ever done in your life. He was able to do that with a group of, you know, maybe not a lot of superstars, but some guys that are very, very, very good players if they're not superstars, and some guys that you brought up from Milwaukee at the end of the year. He took all that, put them all together, and they became a team. And I don't know how he did it, but I thought it was masterful. I thought he was really, really strong at a point in time when all of us really smart people in the press were on him about, you know, having to win. You've got to win this game, because if you don't, you're going to play Chicago. And if you play Chicago, you know you can't. And he paid absolutely no attention to any of us. He kept trucking. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, putting that team together and getting those people together. He got them all lined up for a playoff run.
Remember me when I was like, why is he playing Pontus Auberg tonight at the end of the season? They just called him up from Milwaukee. Why is he playing Pontus Auberg? You've got to win this so you don't play Chicago. And then obviously they didn't win it, and they did play Chicago, and Pontus Auberg was a really big role of what they did in the playoffs.
I think he was really, really strong in ignoring all of us and not slamming any of us. You know, people were on him and on him for a couple of weeks, and he never blinked. He just kept right to it and stayed focused and got it done. I thought he did an excellent job at bringing in people, figuring out what they could do, what they were going to be good at, and putting them in a spot, giving them a role. And I think that was a giant part of the Teep concept. But he was outstanding at bringing in guys that maybe had only been with the team for a few days and yet throw them into a playoff game and have them score a goal. Things like that, I thought he was magnificent at. And I thought when he had time, which he did, he was fortunate enough between playoff series, I thought he put together outstanding game plans for the different opponents, because there were some similarities in some of the teams, and there were no similarities or very few similarities in some of the teams. And he was able to model a game plan that the players could believe in, that they would go out there and perform, and it worked. So, I mean, I truly thought he did an outstanding job of coaching at the absolute hardest things. And so I think he deserves a tremendous congratulations, did a great job.
Well, and the other thing, too, that we haven't even mentioned, and it kind of did when you talked about a team and building a team, is they brought a personality into the locker room in P.K. Subban, who is a larger-than-life in the hockey world personality. And it never seemed, in my mind, to affect the team. It never seemed to hurt the team. All the attention PK would get, or when they played Montreal and all the cameras were in to talk to PK, and when they went there and they had the video montage for PK, and that never seemed to affect the team. And to me, that is another thing that I give credit to the coach for. The one negative I have on this is they underachieved in the regular season. I mean, that's the... That team was way too talented to be the 16th best team in the playoffs.
See, I don't know how much of that is underachieving and how much of that was part of his total game plan at putting that team together. I think he realized that he had just lost a longtime leader, and it was going to be hard to replace him. I think he chose the right guy to replace him. And then gave them enough time to work it out to where everybody fit in the mold. I don't anticipate, I would say next year, if you don't go through the same things, I mean, I would expect that he'll have a much better regular season record. But now as I look back on it, I think the first part of the season where it was maybe the rockiest, and they kept saying it, they kept telling us this. We just wouldn't believe them. They kept saying, you know, we're trying to get it right. The leadership, we've missing some of the leadership. It's not quite exactly. And we thought that was all excuses. You know, we were blowing it off. And in fact, that's exactly what they were doing. And then in the latter part of the season, after they got that settled, then it was a matter of him putting together a team that could make a long, long playoff run, which is exactly what he did.
The thing about Peter that I almost kind of circle and look at is I just think he's a tremendous coach. For all the things that you want in a coach, you know, he's good with strategy, he's good with X's and O's, he's good with managing players, managing egos. What I'm really trying to figure out is how he keeps getting fired. Like, that is what I don't understand. You know, he goes with the Islanders, goes to the playoffs 2 years fired, 3 years after they win the Cup in Carolina, fired, in the middle, the very beginning of the fourth season after they make it to the Stanley Cup final in Philadelphia fired. I'm trying to figure out how he keeps getting fired because I've seen him, you know, now for 3 years as a coach. Oh, this guy's incredible.
The one of the hidden talents, and I've never heard it myself. I shouldn't say that. I've heard part of it. But, you know, not on a nightly basis, but the more you hear players talk about it and critique him on it, one of the things that I would have overlooked just because I didn't sense it in his personality is I guess he does a great job of pregame speeches. I mean, you hear players all the time talk about how he just pushes all the right buttons and says the right things and gets them ready to go out and perform on a nightly basis, especially during the playoffs. And I've kind of grown a newfound respect for that.
He's got a little potty mouth, though, when he does it.
A little bit. You gotta have a little bit of that.
A little bit. Had that thing going game one on NBC. Although I saw him do that, and I was like, Peter, you go, girl. You do what you want to do. People were sitting there talking about Peter cursing on that, and I said, I'm not doing a radio segment breaking down whether or not it was inappropriate for Peter to curse in the pregame show. But then they took the goal off the board in that game, and the pregame show was well forgotten at that point. So here's what I want to do. Open up the phone line, 615-737-1025. I want the fans' take on Peter LaViolette and the job he did this season, a full evaluation, 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll ask the GM what he's got to do next year. It's all coming up right here on Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I always work under the assumption we should never assume anything. And we should put our head down, come to training camp, work hard, do the right things, work to become a good team, work to win hockey games. And if you can do those things, you can find yourself competing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But there's always the work that goes with that. What we did this year and how we grew as a team, that team will have to take on its own identity next year, and we'll have to forge together to become a group that can win hockey games and do those things. So,
Peter LaViolette yesterday, Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, when you hear that, Peter LaViolette saying to never assume anything, that's how he operates going forward into next year. What do you make of that as a GM turning the page on a season?
I agree 1,000%. I mean, it's what you did this year is well and good and really nice and all of those things. And you know, there's still a little bit of time to enjoy it. But this offseason is really short. Because you played so well, went so far, and you're going to have to turn the page much quicker than you want to. And the truth is, you know, next year, what's gone on this year really has very little bearing.
Can I just say, like, I don't understand why Peter LaViolette's been fired 3 times. And I know every situation's
different.
He's
a coach.
I get it, but
if you're in pro sports, it's not when you're going to get if you're going to get fired, it's when you're going to get fired.
It's not that though. Like, I understand why Ken Whisenhunt's been fired so many times. He's awful. But all the things that I look for in a coach, Peter has. You know, I told you he's the exact opposite of Jeff Fisher. In my mind, Jeff Fisher is all extra garbage, no, you know, not the bare bones of coaching. Yeah. Peter is all coaching, no extra anything else.
And that could be part of the reason. Somebody wanted somebody that was going to be flamboyant and would get in front of the TV and have all these press conferences and have all these TV shows and have all this stuff, and he didn't want any part of it. I mean, the problem with any sport, not hockey, is that if you're in a position like that, there are so many people that you have to please. And if you're lucky enough to get in a place like I think he is now, where people appreciate him for what he is, then, you know, this is paradise for him. But if you go to a lot of these other franchises, I mean, owners want so much more and so many different things. And it's not just owners, of course, it's general managers. And if you're in a position where you think you're going to go in and you're going to control the locker room and you know, the head honcho in your locker room is Crosby and he doesn't like you, you're in trouble right then. I don't care how good a coach. So, yeah. I mean, all those things become factors.
I don't get it in my mind. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't see it. Jim Rutherford, by the way, who just won the cup as the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, was the GM in Carolina, fired Peter Laviolette. How about that? We didn't even get to that entire storyline. But I think to myself right now, like, at what point, eventually, I don't know if Peter Laviolette's going to get fired by the Predators or be such a great coach that he then, like, retires and goes into the sunset or whatever. I mean, obviously, I think if you're a Predators fan, you hope for the latter. But he seems to be, when I watch him coach against other coaches, 90% of the time, he seems to be the one doing the best coaching. To me, he out-coaches the opposition all the time, including Joel Quenneville, who's won 3 Stanley Cups in Chicago, completely out-coached in 4 games this year. Just totally out-coached. And I'm trying to think to myself, okay, why did Philadelphia, who hasn't won anything since they fired him, or Carolina, who hasn't won anything since they fired him, why did they fire him? Those are the things I'm trying to figure out. Because I look at Laviolette and I think he's great with handling the guys in the locker room, allowing the culture to, you know, manifest itself the way it has. He seems to be a good fit for this city in terms of kind of his demeanor and his, you know, he's not a jump up and down flashy kind of coach. He's not all about, as you would say, the flamboyant personality. But I just don't understand why Carolina would look at themselves and say, you know what? Yeah, he won the Stanley Cup, but he's just not good enough. He's got to go. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because that's the thing that doesn't make any sense to me. And I wonder if the Predators have a steal here or if it's a right fit, or I don't know what it is, but I don't know what – I've seen a lot worse coaches, I'll put it to you like that.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, it's the same thing. I mean, there's so many things other than just coaching in a lot of these jobs. And I think that's what's important to understand. I mean, if you make the owner mad, you make the GM mad, you make the 2 or 3 star players mad, you do any of those kinds of things. I did. Bud fired a coach one time because he wouldn't fire the trainer.
Bud Adams?
Yes. He told the coach to fire the trainer. He goes, he's a great trainer. He said, fine, you're fired. I mean, there you go. So, I mean, those things happen. That's professional sports. And that's why it's hard for these guys to keep jobs. I mean, it's a tough business now. And like I said before, if you haven't been fired, you haven't been a coach very long.
But to be fired 3 times in 2 years, and I don't know the whole situation with the Islanders in 2002, but in 2 years, he took the Islanders to the playoffs twice. Why'd he get fired then? Back-to-back years, they go to the playoffs, then he gets let go. Then he goes to Carolina, and at age 40, wins the Stanley Cup. Then 3 years later, he gets fired. And at the time, Jim Rutherford, once again the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins now, was discussing why they decided to fire Peter Laviolette. And he said at the time, quote, it's about changing to get the chemistry back on our team, to get confidence back on our team, and make what I would say minor adjustments in a system that really worked in the Stanley Cup year. But the teams have adjusted to it, and our team hasn't adjusted over the last couple of years. And so what do you make of that? Because I don't know. I think Peter Laviolette's – I like Barry Trotz. I like him a lot. I think he's a great guy. I think he stands for all the right things. I think Peter's a better coach. I think you certainly have a much better coach than you've ever had. And ever since he's gotten here, you've made the playoffs every year and gotten further each and every year. Now, that's not going to continue, because the only thing you can do would be to win the cup next year, and then after that, you can't go further than that. So I don't know what's going to happen, but just the way that this team's gotten better since he's been the coach, I don't see how you can look at him and think he's not a good coach. I can't see how you look at it and say, you know what, I want to fire him. And not just how you look at it, but how 3 other people look at it, how New York looks at it, Carolina looks at it, and Philadelphia looks at it. And maybe it's just because Nashville's a different city, a different town with a different owner and a different GM, that this will really flourish and work out. But something just doesn't make sense there to me.
I see it all.
What do you see it all? What do you mean?
I mean, you heard. You just read it. He just read his reasons. I mean, the truth is, if we're doing a great job of activating our defense and getting them down there, if somebody shows up with an offense, and I have no idea who it would be, what the offense would be, that just creases that, makes mincemeat of it, and we don't adjust, then he'll end up getting fired here in 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, it's an awful business.
By the way, the Broad Street Hockey, which I guess covers the Philadelphia Flyers, wrote an article last month. And, of course, the headline of the article is, in hindsight, should the Flyers have fired Peter Laviolette? It goes on to say at the end, keeping Laviolette as coach of a team that he was not suited to coach would have been a mistake, too. Regardless of how things played out over the last 3.5 years, the Flyers didn't make the wrong decision in 2013 by firing Laviolette, even if he'd make a strong coaching candidate for them in 2017.
Well, I mean, you just talked about Pittsburgh. I mean, in the Stanley Cup, Carolina let go of the GM and the coach that were both in the Stanley Cup this year.
What do you mean?
Well, didn't you say Pittsburgh's GM was it in Charlotte or in Carolina?
In Carolina, yeah, but he fired. Oh, yeah, you're talking about
they
Peter.
They both the coach and the GM that were in the Stanley Cup were at Carolina.
How did this not
and
get
they
discussed?
Fired them both.
How did this not get discussed? I don't know Jim Rutherford's history because I don't really care, but how is this not like a huge topic amongst the Canadian media elite national of, hey, Peter, how would you like to shove it to your old boss that fired you? How did that not come up?
I think it was a small national storyline.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it ever got the traction that maybe it should have looking back on it. And plus, also, when he was with the Islanders, we know who the GM was.
Mike Milbury.
So that's all. I mean, that explains a lot right there.
Yeah, it does.
Milbury. Oh, yeah, man. Speaking of a coach who's been fired too many times to apparently a coach who can't get fired. You see what's going on in Louisville, Floyd?
Yes, I did.
We will get to that next. Plus, you have got to hear what Rick Pitino said today about the latest the NCAA has come down. We will get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5, The Game, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. The big story in sports today. The NCAA, today was Judgment Day for the University of Louisville, and the NCAA has come down on U of L. Now, remember, they already took themselves out of the 2016 NCAA tournament, self-imposed. They took the punishment, but apparently, according to the NCAA, Rick Pitino will be suspended the first 5 ACC games in 2017-2018 for failing to monitor his program during an alleged sex for pay scandal, or as Floyd loves to refer to it as...
Hookers in the dorm.
Hookers in the dorm. And the program will be on probation for 4 years. Louisville has announced it will appeal the ruling. The reason that Louisville will appeal the ruling more than anything is because, according to ESPN and everyone, it is unclear if Louisville will keep its 2013 national championship after the committee issued a vacation of basketball records in which student athletes competed while ineligible from December 2010 to July 2014. They don't want that banner to come down. Floyd? You want to hear what Rick Pitino had to say on the matter?
Oh, I bet this is a beauty.
Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino said, hey, I'm not going to walk away. It would be easy to leave, but I'm not walking away.
You know, it'd be very easy for me to sit up here, and I'd be lying to you if I didn't ponder and say, man, you're 64. Why? I'll finish it, but with this story. I once led Jimmy Valvano, and this was way before he got sick, and I recommended him for a pro job, and he was going through some tough times at NC State. And then I saw him later on, and when he was just about getting sick, I said, Jim, how you feeling? He said, you know, the NCAA investigation broke down my immune system. And believe it or not, it can tear you apart inside and out. That 11-hour meeting, besides everything else, can kill you inside because you know what you stand for and what you believe in.
So... Rick says, you love this.
That makes me want to puke.
Rick said after that, Rick said he's going to be back with a vengeance.
So what do you do? Do you say, let me pack it in, like this gentleman alluded to? Let me do something else in life. Let me go. Leaders lead. I plan on staying here and winning multiple championships, not just one. I plan on going to multiple Final Fours, not just one. And that's what leaders do. They lead the players they're coaching. They asked for forgiveness for what happened, for one of your employees did. You were extremely contrite. I know the committee was sickened by it, but so are we. But we did not deserve what they gave us, and that's the bottom line.
Floyd, your
thoughts.
They
made a very large mistake, and our faith has to be put in the hands of the committee going forward of appeals.
Okay, I jumped the gun a little bit there, but Floyd, your thoughts.
I need to go take a shower.
You are a hater.
I feel greasy.
Why?
I feel greasy all over.
I will say this. I don't think Rick Pitino knew. That being said, I'm not sure that really matters. Let me just put it to you like this. Everybody around the country, like as soon as this story broke, I was talking to Darren and Willie during one of the breaks today about it. And Darren and Willie seemed to think like Louisville got off easy.
They did.
I feel sick to my stomach because that championship banner is probably going to come down.
It needs to.
No.
Absolutely.
Hey, we won that title fair and
square. He was using it as your players from 2010 to 2014, and he didn't know about it?
He didn't know.
Oh.
The NCAA
then,
even
you know
said
what?
He didn't
then
know.
He needs to be fired for that.
Well, that's what they're
saying. Because
you're
too stupid to be a head coach.
That's what they're saying. Lack of institutional control is the exact line that the NCAA uses there. I don't feel like Louisville got off easy. I feel like they really came down on them and hammered them. Now, it's probably a good thing that there are no more postseason bans if you're Louisville, which I am. So that's probably a good thing, but they've never taken a men's basketball championship banner down before.
Well, this is time. It is time.
In all seriousness, do you really think it warrants that?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, and vacate all the wins and I mean a clean house and the whole program. I'd put them on probation for 10 years.
I think they're on it for 4.
No.
So is that okay?
That's grungy. That is dirty.
I gotta tell you. As somebody who was there during the time.
And weren't you associated with basketball program?
Women's basketball. We didn't have any of that.
Oh, there's no difference.
There's no, we're a totally different team.
Oh. Okay.
We had different coaches.
Okay.
That'd be like saying, hey, weren't you associated with the Sounds when you were GM of the Titans?
Did you stay in the dorm?
I did live in that dorm.
That answers a lot of questions right there. Now,
in all fairness, I lived in it for 1 year, and that was until 2009. This all started supposedly in 2010. When this first came out, I was shocked, like to a T, because at Louisville, the culture of the athletic department was very similar to a high school. Like, nobody could do anything without everybody knowing about it. It was like, you know, so-and-so's dating so-and-so. Oh, yeah, everybody knows that. And so when this came out, I was like, well, I don't know anything about this. There's no way this is the case. And then I saw some of the stuff. I thought, oh, that's not good. That might be real. That might be true. And so I'm shocked by it. I'm also heavily embarrassed. I mean, I, as somebody, you know, who takes a lot of pride in graduating from that university, trust me, it wears on you when you realize that you've got this going on. You've got Rick Pitino's past situation with the equipment manager's wife and all of that going on. And then you've got Bobby Petrino as your football coach.
Motorcycle and, Michael.
And you've got that going on.
Oh, man.
And then you want to be like, hey, we're not about that.
Okay.
It's very difficult in that regard. Let me say this, though. I would trade Rick Pitino to keep the banner. Like, I would go to the NCAA and I would say, if I can keep the banner, can I keep the banner if I fire the coach? And if they say yes, I fire Rick Pitino. Because the truth is, and I like Rick Pitino, and Rick Pitino likes me, but I think Rick Pitino needs to go. It's time. Look, he's doing a good job coaching the team. The problem is he's not doing a good job monitoring the team. And for all the people out there that act like that's not a big deal, it's only not a big deal when it happens to you. So when it's Ole Miss and they're not monitoring their program, you're sitting there pointing and you're saying, ah, you got to monitor your program, Ole Miss. You got to monitor your program, Memphis. You got to monitor your program. But then when it happens to you, you go, coach didn't have any idea. How's coach supposed to know? And I don't operate like that. So
school,
I think Rick Pitino should go.
Let me just quote this. High school environment. Everybody knows everything that goes on.
Except that.
Except the head coach. the guy whose nose is in every single thing that has to do with basketball, didn't know about a four-year program. Give me a break.
Your coach didn't know about a strategic way to uninflate footballs.
Can you imagine the number of events that went on there over that 4 years and he didn't hear?
Apparently not.
The word never got around.
No.
The high school.
It never did. Huh? It never got to me. It never got to any.
Okay.
It didn't get out because they knew what they were doing was wrong. That being said, though, I'm not sure it matters. I don't think Louisville got off easy, though. I don't like hearing that because, like, Darren and Willie are convinced they got off easy.
Oh, they're absolutely right.
Why?
They're absolutely. You can't keep a banner that you won after all of that. It's got to go now.
But then that doesn't mean that they got off easy. That means that they were fairly punished.
No, no, no. I mean, I would have put them on 10 years probation.
But Seriously. What's the difference between 4 years and 10 years? Probation's
Six
probation.
Years.
That doesn't matter. The probation doesn't matter. Probation, the real question is, do you give them further postseason bans or force Rick Pitino to go?
All the above. I do it all.
You're just doing that to bust my chest.
No.
I mean,
he is greasy. There is absolutely no doubt about that now.
But he was not, the NCAA said he was not involved in this in any way. He just failed to monitor the program.
You know what? He's wrong either way. Either way, he deserves to be fired. You're either fired because it happened and you knew about it, or you need to be fired because it went on for 4 years and you're too dumb to know about it. Either way, he needs to be fired.
Okay, but now you have to think that any coach in college should be fired for lack of institutional control.
I don't. Sure. Isn't that the rule?
I don't think it's the rule that you get fired for that, but they certainly don't like it. But like Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss, they're trying to defend him. He's been levied with lack of institutional control. You think he should be fired?
Well, I think football is different than basketball.
Oh, what? Come on.
Let me say this. If you're in football and you're dealing with 250 people, I mean, there's a chance something's going on with one of those kids you don't know about. You're in basketball and you've got six and you can't keep track of them.
I think we're exaggerating numbers there.
How many people are in the basketball program? 20?
No, probably like 30, 40.
30. Okay, 30 people. If you can't keep track of 30 people, especially if you're a guy like Pitino is, which his nose is in everything. You know that.
No, when I was in college, he was very hands-off.
Nothing goes on there that he doesn't know about.
That's not true. People say the same thing about Belichick, and they say the same thing about those underinflated footballs because of it.
I'll guarantee you, he knows everything that goes on in his 30 people. And if it was, you know what, if it was a weekend and he didn't know about it, I guess maybe I could accept that. Maybe even if it's two weekends. But 4 years? Give me a break. 4 years? No way.
So I want y'all's take on it. 615-737-1025. Any thoughts on the Rick Pitino and Louisville situation? To be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that the university has defended Pitino as strongly as they have. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And the other question for the callers, is the GM a Pitino hater? Because I see a little bit of that. 615-737-1025. It's Jared of the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
For 35 some odd years, I've had a lot of faith in the NCAA and have reacted that way accordingly as a head basketball coach in the belief in their rules. I've thought in the recent past, they've made some great adjustments to the rules that have helped players along the way. I feel not like everybody here, not only is it unjust, unfair, over the top severe, but I've lost a lot of faith in the NCAA and everything I've stood for the last 35 years.
Floyd, your thoughts?
I'm sure the NCAA has great confidence in him. Sounds like a mutual admiration.
Look, the only thing I don't like is, once again, they're going to want to vacate the wins and take the championship banner down. And I was at that championship game in Atlanta, and it happened. I don't like the idea of the banner coming down. Anything else they do, I don't care. As long as there's no more postseason bans.
There's got to be all of that.
Well, there are no more postseason bans. That's the NCAA is
against
not,
the rules.
No, they didn't enforce any more postseason bans.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We need a couple of those too.
So you want to add to the punishment?
Sure.
So you're like Willie and Darren. You believe they got off light?
They got off really light for 4 years.
And he got 5 games of the ACC season. Boeheim got 9 for cheating academically.
Yeah, I mean it's unbelievable.
I think the 5 games of ACC is so ridiculous. Well, when I woke up, apparently I was listening this morning to the Louisville station I used to be on when they had released these reports, and they were making it sound like Syracuse found this way to finagle the rules to keep their banner, and Louisville could do the same. So I'm thinking, cool, keep the banner and no more postseason bans. Patino gets 5 games. Who cares? Like, Brady got 4 for underinflating a football. Patino gets 5 for, as you call it.
Yes, hookers in the dorm for four years.
I'm good with that. So I felt great. And then you hear the vacating of wins, and that means the banner can come down, and it's just depressing to me. Oh, it's depressing. Let's go to John, who's up next on Jared and the GM Wants to Get In on This. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to weigh in real quick on the Patino thing. I definitely don't think Louisville should lose their banner. I mean, if there was something about academics or these kids were taking money and things like that, but they were just having some parties, probably doing some things that they shouldn't do. But honestly, that seems like a little bit of a harsh penalty for some of the other stuff that goes on in some of these other colleges.
Floyd, would you care to respond?
Wasn't there something in there about playing with illegal players?
What do you mean?
Ineligible?
They're technically ineligible because they were getting benefits from...
Oh, doesn't all that count the same? It seems to me that,
this is going to sound
if
really
I'm
bad.
Going to, if I'm going to rate things that I would really be concerned about...
This is going to sound really bad.
Yeah.
But the Louisville situation, in my mind, is worse than an academic scandal. Like, it's worse than your typical, hey, they hired tutors who wrote their papers type of. I mean, we're talking about you've had 16, 17-year-old recruits with,
Yeah.
Like, that is ethically
so immoral,
over the line.
Against the law. I mean, there's a full range of
benefits. And I'll say this. Can we get that Patino clip back again about how the one that started the segment, like as a Louisville supporter and a Louisville fan, like I'm kind of embarrassed to hear the coach after you have 4 years of this going on with prostitutes and underage recruits, and this is your reaction?
For 35 some odd years, I've had a lot of faith in the NCAA and have reacted that way accordingly as a head basketball coach in the belief in their rules. I've thought in the recent past, they've made some great adjustments to the rules that have helped players along the way. I feel not like everybody here, not only is it unjust, unfair, over the top severe, but I've lost personally a lot of faith in the NCAA and everything I've stood for the last 35 years.
So I guess just don't go on the attack after something like this comes out. You know, like it's kind of embarrassing. You know, like just don't go on the attack. Just say, hey, you know, we disagree with it. We're going to appeal it. Don't say it's unfair. Because, like I said, this scandal to me is worse than if it were just hiring tutors who wrote papers. I don't like that either, but, you know, this is different. I tell you, 16, 17-year-old recruits and technically a coach is facilitating.
Yeah, I mean, these recruits, that's against the law. You go to prison for that. I mean, if the lady is 21 or older and the kid is 16, you go to jail now.
Now, I'll say this, though. Jay Billis brought up a really good point, and that was if the NCAA had to grant these kids immunity to get them to talk, how is Patino supposed to be able to figure these things out?
What does that mean?
Well, the NCAA, in order to get these recruits to fess up to what they did, had to give them immunity.
Right.
Saying, hey, you can still play, you can do... Well, Patino, if Patino were to ask him, they're not going to tell Patino because Patino can't give them immunity like the NCAA did.
Oh, right.
So if Patino were to ask him, you know, they knew it was so wrong, they wouldn't tell Patino. So I understand the concept that Rick Pitino didn't know. My thing is he can't have Andre McGee in there doing what he's doing.
You can't tell me he didn't know now.
I don't think he knew. To this day, I do not think he knew.
Then he needs to be fired.
Randy's got a hot take on this, although I'm worried when I hear hot take in this story. Randy's up next. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Stillmania, what's up, my man?
Hey.
All right, man, listen, let me tell you something. I never get tired of talking about my Preds. This isn't the reason why I called, but I want to tell you what an excellent job you all did of covering the Preds in the playoffs.
Thank you.
I have pledged my allegiance to 102.5 from some other numbers out there. We won't even say the name. But
hey, you're not the only one, Randy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all that you did. I just want to – Floyd, are you awake? I just want to make sure you're awake. Falling asleep a couple times on radio.
I'm right here.
Okay. Hey, listen, Stillmania, I just wanted to tell you, I think you're overestimating how much people care about Louisville. Nobody cares about Louisville, man.
See, it's funny. This is the biggest story of the day, and I asked around the office how much we should talk about it, and I appreciate your call, Randy, and I appreciate your newfound loyalty. We appreciate that. You're not the only one. We're finding out how many people are now becoming fans of Jared of the GM, and we are so infinitely thankful for that. But this is the biggest story of the day. I mean, that's the – look, I want it to not be a story. I don't want it to exist. I don't want to talk about this stuff. We're talking about, as Floyd calls it,
hookers in the dorm.
That is not flattering. Bill is up next. What's up, William?
Hey, love y'all's show.
Thank you.
This segment, you sound a little better, Jared, but when I first got in the car, it sounded like you were defending Pitino to the end, and this is not a situation where a booster meets a player off campus and slips him some extra money or something like this. Members of Pitino's staff is bringing hookers and strippers onto campus to the dorm, and he doesn't know about it. That is loss of control. And in most cases, loss of control, the coach gets fired so that the school says, look, we're gaining control back. So this is he deserves to be fired, in my belief. And if you don't understand that, I think you're being a bobo.
Bill, what's funny is
thank you.
Is my reaction to Bill is I don't know how to argue that.
No, he's right.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, Bill. I do not know how to argue what Bill just said. I don't. Like I said, no, look, I'm not saying that these punishments aren't just. I'm not like Pitino. They're unfair. They're over the top. No, they make sense to me. My thing is I just don't want that banner to come down. I don't even care. If you go to them and say, hey, Pitino for the banner, and they said, deal, I'd say, see you, Rick. Go enjoy your horse farm and knock them out of the park, Rick. Keep running all those Dunkin' Donuts and et cetera that he owns, and you keep doing that. But they're going to take that banner down. I like that banner.
I know.
I'll tell you this, though. I've got a little banner in my house that's like the one they give to staff members or whatever when you make a Final Four, and it's for the women's basketball. And I'll tell you this. Now, our banners are not coming down because we didn't do anything wrong in women's basketball, but if they were to take the banner down and they were to come to my house and ask for that banner back, I'd say, nope, I would not do that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Mike Malarkey going to join us next hour at 4:30. But coming up next, we know the Preds are good. What happens if the Titans get good at the same time? We'll get into that. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.